you will, please. Grab your Bibles. And then let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, again, we're just blessed by the great privilege of being able to be here this week. And we're just starting out. Some of us are kind of cold. We're achy spiritually. We've got a slow moving. Songs coming hard. But we feel something coming on. Lord, as we open your book of books, as this Bible gets read, may it be believed. May it do a work like a jackhammer. Like a two-edged sword. May it both cut and heal. May it change every person in this room. Starting from me, through each counselor, down to the youngest. May they know. If they're 6 or 3 years old, may they know. Time for preaching. Time to hear from God. Please bless our time. In Jesus' name. Amen. And of course, my phone would ring. You never know. Where's Nita? I know she's not. I don't know. Somebody may be lost. I have no idea. If it rings again, would you answer it, please? I forgot to switch it off. All right, if it rings. That was just about the silence. Okay. Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's in your New Testament.
It is
the new 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. And it is a great privilege to be able to be with you, young men and young ladies. This is the highlight of my year, and I've watched some of you. Sorry? So I've watched some of you come year after year, and I am glad to see you faithful. Glad to have you here. Every one of you. We got some new faces here. I appreciate you coming. 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. When you found it, I want to read it aloud now. I want you to just listen along, read along quietly as I read. Watch your Bible. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Listen to these words. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're passing. But the things which are not seen are what? Talk to me. They're eternal. There is something about a Christian that is different, that's amazing. And the thing that's unique about a Christian is you see things the world doesn't see. The world will see a lot of people going inside a mall, and a Christian who's read his Bible and heard the preacher preach about hell will get up there and see souls. Do you see that? While we look now at the things that are seen, I may see a pretty girl. But you know, a Christian, knowing that Bible, sees somebody who will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. I may see a guy and so smart or so strong or so rich, but I see an eternity and he may be one step from it. I see all the buildings being built. You see the roads getting better. Amen. You see all of the things going around in the world. But a Christian, we see things that are unseen to the world. We see this stuff is going to pass away. Amen. But I'm part of something that's going to go on. Paul here, speaking from experience, he says, our light affliction. He says, we feel like fainting sometimes. He says, the things which he feels, the things that he sees, those are not the reality that he lives. And what Paul is expressing, I guarantee you, he learned from a young man named Joseph. Paul, just like you, needed to learn the truths of having an ability to see what maybe the rest of the world doesn't see, and that's a spiritual sight, that's a spiritual sense of looking at your life. Maybe you're 18 years old, 16 years old, 10 years old, look at your life and the world, somebody looks at you and says, man, you look like you got the fun, you got the TV in your room, you got the mobile phones, you got the friends, but then when you get saved, you start looking and you say, they're nothing. I don't have any walk with God. I've never won anybody to Christ. When it comes time to preaching, I don't understand what he's saying. All of a sudden you get a spiritual awareness of something bigger than what everybody else sees. What we're going to learn about is a young man named Joseph, who, when everything was falling apart, he still could see something way off in the distance, and he just held to it, and he held to it, and he held to it, and one day God fulfilled that dream. I want to talk about a God-given dream tonight. I believe that God still speaks to his children.
Amen.
Now, it doesn't come on your phone. Not a text in the sky. It's not an audible voice, but the Bible calls it a still, small voice that maybe only you can hear. He shows you his will. God begins to reveal to you his design for his life. I want to show you how to find God's will in a simple way, and then to hold on to it. Because if you know in your heart of hearts, God has a direction for you to go, I guarantee you, the devil will put every ounce of his strength in it to pull you away.
Yes.
I want you to be able to take a hold of that dream that God gives you, like he gave to Joseph, and I want you to see that dream fulfilled. Let's go to Genesis chapter 37. That's in the Old Testament. Genesis 37, you'll be glad to know it's in the first book of the Old Testament. Genesis 37. Boy, what a great sound. Love hearing pages turning. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 1, Jacob. Now remember, that's Joseph's daddy. Jacob, he dwelt in a land wherein his father was a stranger. They're walking around a place that's not their own. Now, Jacob's father was Isaac, and Isaac's daddy was Abraham. Alright, verse 2. These are the generations. This is the family of Jacob. Joseph being how old?
17.
What? I can't hear you.
17.
That makes Joseph a teenager. Amen. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Sorry, little Joseph sometimes had to tell on his brothers. Oh, I tell you. And that was good for him.
Amen.
It probably saved their life more than they realized.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Verse 3. Now Israel, he loved Joseph more than all his children. Now that wasn't right. But sometimes you get some things like that. Because he was the son of his old age. He was his youngest boy. At this point he'd had 10 other boys and one girl. And here comes Joseph, he's number 11. I mean, you have 10 kids and tell me whether you're happy or not with that kid. Anyway, it says this. When his brethren, verse 3, now Israel, Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. You know the story. Joseph and his coat of many colors. Verse 4. Now that coat of many colors was a terrible thing in the eyes of his brothers. Verse 4. When his brethren saw that his father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated Joseph. They hated him. And they couldn't speak peaceably unto him. They didn't treat him like a brother. Verse 5. And Joseph, now underline these words, Joseph dreamed a dream. Now, you think that's a bad thing? I'm going to ask a strange question, all right? How many of you remember what you dreamed last night? Does anybody remember what they dreamed last night? Very few of us do. If you get woken up, you know, at 5 in the morning or something, you might wake up and you might remember the dream. I probably remember, one dream a month. I don't remember my dreams. Joseph has a dream and he remembers it. This is not a normal dream. Look at it, verse 5. Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it to his brethren. And he hated them yet the more. I mean, what a great family. Amen. Verse 6. And he said to them, hey, I know you don't want to hear it, but hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. That's hay for some of you city slickers. We were binding our sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance. You bowed to my sheaf. Oh, wow. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed, are you listening? Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream. And he told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Now the number is what's critical. When he talks about the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, he's talking about his family. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren, here it is again, envied him, but his father observed the saying. His father was thinking about it. Now, let me talk to you for a few seconds about, let me mention first of all Joseph's dreams. Joseph had some awesome dreams here. These are not normal things, you know. I mean, some of you may dream about being Superman or Catwoman or something like that. I don't know. Spider body. I don't know. Spider boy. I don't know. Some people want to have dreams and they dream while they should be doing their schoolwork. But this is not that kind of a dream.
Brother Pitt, that's a great illustration of it. All right.
People daydream, but these are dreams that he can't shake. Here, Joseph has a dream. And then he has another dream, and he can't help but share it. These things are amazing, and his brethren pick up on it. And he says, these dreams that Joseph has are not depressing dreams. These are dreams of greatness. I want to show you something. These are from God. When God gives his will to you, they are not for you to be, you know, a slurry truck driver. God's will for you, when he puts his finger on your path and says, follow this path, when he tries to direct you, he is going to direct you to something awesome. You better mark that down. He's never yet called anybody to mediocrity. He never called anybody to second best. He has a design and a plan and a dream for you. If you would just be sensitive this week and beg God, show me what you want, or let me believe that that's what you want.
Amen.
It was an awesome dream. He was the youngest brother. Yet, according to these dreams, he would be ahead of mom and dad. Mom and dad didn't like that. They not only were awesome dreams, they were confusing dreams. They're not easily understood. Here's this guy talking about being the leader, and he's the youngest. And you know, let me mark this down. That's how God works.
Yeah.
God doesn't do what we expect. We expect the oldest. You ever heard of a guy named Eliab? Hello. He was the oldest brother in a family called the family of Jesse. The youngest brother is out in the field tending sheep. What was his name?
David.
Young David. Samuel went in there. Eliab. I mean, hot dog. This guy, head and shoulder, side to side, chest sticking out of here. He was a walking, talking superhero, man. And Samuel, the prophet, went, surely, this is the one that God wants to be king. And God said, you're looking on the outward, I see the heart.
Yeah.
I have refused him. And step by step, through all the family, and then one kid named David is brought in. He stinks. He's been with the sheep for days. They bring him in, and Samuel says, well, behold the king, amen. You see, that's what God does, amen. Don't sit there and sell yourself short.
Amen.
You may not be
one of these rocket scientists, the most intelligent and the most good-looking?
I am.
You may not have all of the greatness of the world, but when God puts his hand on you, it will be awesome, but it will be confusing. Somebody may look at you and you say, I believe God called me to preach the gospel. And we may laugh, but I know of a man who's a missionary this day. He's in Chile. He's at 7,500 feet up. You and I couldn't even breathe that high. When he got up there, he had to get a helicopter to get him up and drop him into this village where he's a missionary. And now that he is, it's all like this. You know what that man of God does? He spent 10 years praying and weeping with those Chileans and learning their language, and he has hundreds in his church. One day God baptized in a strong, vibrant church, mile and a half up in the Andes Mountains. They don't know that he can't speak right. They just think that's the voice of God. Amen. Thank God that when God puts his hand on you, I may not understand it. Mom and Dad may not understand it, but God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
They're confusing. Secondly, go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. That's in the New Testament. Brother Pittman, could you help me and get me a glass of water? John chapter 12, Joseph had some dreams. But now I want to tell you about the death of dreams. I want to tell you about, not only does God give you dreams, he destroys them.
Are you ready for this?
Folks, look at me for a second. You see that book? That's the most unusual book in the universe. That book doesn't tell you about a fairy tale, happily right. Living happily ever. That book doesn't tell you about how the easy life and the secrets of happiness and money and riches and prosperity. That book tells you that when God gives you a dream, he then breaks you and he crushes the dream. Because he's got to do everything and you trust him. He's got to teach you how to let him make you great. When he calls you to greatness, he does not say, whoa, this is one awesome dude. I'll use this guy. No, God does. God comes along and says, what a mess. This is the guy I'll get all the glory from. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, now listen. Look at John chapter 12. I want to show you how God just gave a great dream. Thank you so kindly. How God gave a great dream to Joseph. But if you know anything about the next 22 years of his life, God will seriously kill that dream. Look at John chapter 12, teach you the truth from the New Testament, verse 24. Jesus speaking of himself and speaking about the coming of his death. Look at verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground. And tell me what's the next word. Talk to me. Back row. Back row. I can't hear you.
Die.
Except that corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it will always abide how?
Alone.
But if it die, what does a kernel of corn, one single kernel of corn do? It bringeth forth much fruit. Any of you ever, I don't know, some of you are so far into the city, you don't even know where green beans come from.
Yeah, cans,
amen. Listen, you take a seed, you dig a hole, you drop that seed into the hole, you cover it up, and 3 months later, you got some fruit, amen. That is if you got soil. But Jesus says, you take that kernel of corn and you frame it, you put it on the wall, you put a picture, you put a light underneath it, you know, put the light on every night. You have that thing, the centerpiece of your house. You look at it, you adore it, you talk to it, you coax it. What will it do? Nothing. It will stay alone. Why? Because the kernel of corn is not meant to be that way. That kernel of corn is meant to die. And you got plenty of people in your Bible that are great illustrations
where greatness is built not upon self, but upon God. Let me give you an illustration. How about a young man? How about a middle-aged man named Moses? 40 years old, he stands up, he says, God has given me a dream to be the leader of this great nation of Israel. You know what? God killed that dream. And you never met a more bitter man than Moses for 40 years on the backside of the desert. I bet you he kicked those sheep every day. He used to be prince in Egypt, and he was out there. He didn't even have his own job. He was working for his wife's dad. 40 stinking years, he's out there, mad at God, bitter, frustrated. He said, where's that dream? Where's that dream? All of a sudden, that fire was burning up there, and he says, wonder what that thing is. And God says, I still got that dream for you.
Amen.
God had to break that proud Egyptian Moses and make him so that when God spoke to him, he says, I can't even talk right anymore. God says, that's when I can use you. If you're so good at talking, if you're so good at performing, you know what? It's going to be a while before God can use you. Amen.
Amen.
How about a man named Abraham? Oh, Abraham's 75 years old. People said, I have children at 75. God says, I'm going to give you children. You see those stars? That's how many stars. Well, I can imagine him looking at his wife. We're going to have that many children. I'm going to have two. You're having the rest. Amen. Abraham, God gave him that dream. It was 25 years later till he was laughing. You understand? How about Jesus? Jesus walking on this earth, every one of his disciples, every one of them said, he's the Messiah. You're the Son of God. Hosanna! The King of Israel. This is the King of the Jews. And he was crucified. The death of a dream. Why did God do that? Because it cannot be in us. Our greatness is not us. Whatever God has to do to fulfill that dream, that plan, he has to somehow break down us so it's all him.
Yeah.
I just went like this over most of you. That was what God was doing in Joseph for the next 22 years. Joseph had those dreams when he was 17 years old. And I want to tell you, I'm ahead of my message, but he held on to those dreams because they came from God. And he said, I don't know how, I don't know why, but I'm not going to let bitterness, I'm already preaching my message later on in the week, I'm not going to let bitterness sell out God's call for my life.
Amen.
The death of the dream. For God to be great, for God to do great things in Joseph's life, he had to break him, mold him, shape him. Here's the word, transform him. Don't be conformed to this world. The world wants to take you and make you walk like the world. Make you talk like the world. Make you act like the world. And the world for most of you is stupid. And you don't realize they don't speak Dublinese in heaven. They speak Texan. Anyway.
Yeah.
The world loves to take a young Christian and pour the pressure on and take somebody whose heart belongs to Jesus and say, your heart may belong to God, but your mind, your body, your thought processes, your actions are going to belong to us. And it's time that some of you, all of you, stand up and say, my life is now God's. And I don't know how long it's going to take, but I want to see the dream fulfilled.
Amen.
Because it's going to be great. The purpose of the dreams. Go to Hebrews 12. To your right, almost to Revelation. Hebrews chapter 12. I'll give you a little. This is a little secret here. You go through the city. You travel. Grafton Street. And Clark, you go on Patrick Street. Better name.
Up the River Oaks.
Everywhere you go, do you know what? There's this little eye looking at you. It's called a CCTV. You ever notice that? I got news for you. You are being watched. I'll show you by who. Look at your Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we are also, we also are compassed about, surrounded with so great a cloud of, what's the word?
Witness.
Do you know, it doesn't say spectator. It does not say, it does not say worldly people. That is not talking about your neighbors. It's not talking about your mother. That's talking about people in heaven who are watching you and wanting to see you win something for once. It's that since we have such a great cloud of witnesses, people who are watching like a witness in a courtroom who are trying to take note of every detail, let us, since we're being watched, let us lay aside every weight, anything that slows you down, and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run the race, your race, with patience. The race that is set before us, looking unto what?
Alright.
I want you to see the purpose of your dreams. It's to give you a target, man. It's to give you something to run for. It's to give you a... Listen, can you imagine you watch the Olympics? On your mark, get set! And those guys take off and they go, where do we go? Where's the lines? Where's the finish? You imagine what a race that'd be? Some of you are just like that. Amen? You come to church, your preacher's preaching, he's saying you need to get right, you need to do this, you're going, where do I go? And you don't know the race. Listen, you need to know God's will for your life. You don't need to come and listen to the preaching and go to church and pray your prayers and then just wander aimlessly.
Amen.
God's dream in your heart, God's vision for your life, that thing that He puts in your heart that nothing can shake, that when God gives it to you, it's to give you a target to run for, amen? To give you a purpose in life, to give you a reason to get up in the morning,
amen.
Give you a reason to succeed. Look at Proverbs 3, right after Psalms, in the middle of your Bible, right after Psalms comes Proverbs chapter 3. You know this verse, Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5, secondly, the purpose of those dreams, I'm almost through, hold with me folks, stay with me. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. The purpose of that dream is secondly to get you to have some hope. You know, if I got saved and I didn't have the hope of heaven, what a waste.
Yeah.
Understand? At least I got one dream right. Streets of gold are no fairy tale.
Come on.
I dream of heaven, man. I've been afraid of heights. I won't that day.
Amen. Amen.
Listen to me. There's something about when God shows you His will, when God reveals to you, some of you are so terrified of God's will, you are terrified of being called to be a preacher. I know it. You say, I could never be as foolish as that guy up there. Amen. Problem is, a lot of the girls go, I could do better. God gives you that dream, gives you that vision, gives you His will so that you have hope, folks. So that you have something that when all the world around you falls apart, you say, but it doesn't matter. I know God wants me there. I want God wants me doing that.
Yes.
Some of you are afraid. You think the only thing that God calls people to do is preach. And I know this, God calls every Christian to witness. Every Christian to preach the gospel to every creature, but not everybody's called to do what I'm doing. So maybe not God hadn't called you to do that. I think what I'm doing is the greatest thing in this place.
Amen.
I couldn't trade it for a million other jobs. I wouldn't at all. You couldn't drag me away from what I do.
No, sir.
I don't get much sleep. I don't get much rest. But I have the time of my life. Let me say this. But that's not all God calls you to do. Whatever God calls you to do, it will be great. You've got to listen. Alright? Some of you may be called into, though I said, to politics. Make sure it's really God's calling. But you know, we could really affect this country if some of the Irish got on fire for God, got biblical, and did right, and got elected, and stayed right.
Amen.
But when God gives you that dream, He does it to give you hope. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord, not in yourself, not in your abilities. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart?
All
thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. Hey, in all thy ways, in every way that you go, acknowledge him. Don't praise yourself, praise him, and he'll direct thy what?
Hey, when you like to know where to go, what to do, when to do it, what to say,
God will show you. But he gives you a dream to give you hope. Third, he gives you that dream so that your life glorifies God. That's the reason why. If he doesn't, I mean, what are we, man? We're a bunch of dust put together with a little bit of water and glue, amen? That's all we are. What is that to God? What is that to this planet? You guys, you realize we're worm food?
Yeah.
That's what we are. Now you think about it for a minute. God gave me a dream so that when I do what he's called me to do, he glorifies him, man. That's why he gives you a purpose. That's why he gives you his will, his plan for your life. Now I just want to briefly say, God, when he gives you that dream, he has a path he's going to take you go through that to get to that dream. And that path usually will be down, down, and down. For Joseph, it was into a pit. He was next a purchased slave. Then he was in prison waiting to die. Huh, what a dream. But you know what? When he got raised and made prince of Egypt, I guarantee you he didn't remember 1 minute in the prison. When he's up there and he has command of the entire country from east to west, north to south, he didn't sit there and go, man, my life stinks. All my life has been a one rotten mess. You know what? It was all worthwhile when he got to the place that God had given him that dream. Secondly, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Two more scriptures, I think. 2 Timothy. 2 Corinthians. We'll come to Timothy in a moment. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me show you a great verse. You want to circle this verse, mark this verse, put a star by it. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God. Are you looking? Hey, you ought to mark this down. You're going through a hard time. Remember our verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? We faint not. Our light affliction. You know what? This is a guy who's been beaten 150 times. This is a guy who a day and a night in the ocean without hope of being rescued. This is a guy who's been shipwrecked more times than you've been able to drive a car. Some of you have driven him several times. This is a man who's been hated, hunted, poisoned, everything in Paul's life. You know what he said? It's a light affliction. You know why I had that attitude? Because what I'm about to show you. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which, what's the next word? Always causes us to triumph in Christ. Let me say that again. I didn't hear three people. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. The savor is like when you smell a steak and you're like, that's the savor. Always make it this. You know what? For Joseph, it was down, 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 but the path of his dream was always through. God's going to get you somewhere. That's how God does things, man. You know what it says in Mark chapter 7? After the people had seen Jesus heal and raise the dead and feed the 5,000, you know what he said? He had done all things well. And you know what, some of you? You're looking going, what has God done for me? What has God done? And I've never seen him answer any of my prayers. We ought to try and pray one, maybe. You see, nothing happened in your life. When you get down the line and you live for God and you suffered a little bit, you look back and you go, he really has done all things well.
Yes.
Some of us can say that. At least me and David can say that. Amen. Lastly, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Alright, now I'm going to find out who are real people here tonight. People who are cultured. I'm going to find out if you have any culture at all. How many of you know? Ever seen a video or something of somebody riding a bull? You ever seen them in a rodeo, you know? Or a wild horse? Alright, some of you got some culture. Alright, good. Okay. I want you to know there's something about your Bible. There's something about, it's called the 8-second goal of a Bronco rider. They get on that bull, and that bull's real nice and quiet at first, because he's hemmed in and can't move, all right? And that rider's over there, and up goes his hand, and his left arm, and is tight, oldly tight, tightly holding onto that rope that goes around that bull. And then there's a little buzzer that buzzes, they bolt that gate open, and out he goes. And those are the longest 8 seconds in that man's life. And he's trying to hold on while that bull is trying to throw him every direction. I want you to see a verse in your Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse 12. Paul tells to Timothy, look at this. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Look at what he says. Fight the good fight of faith. Look at the next two words. Lay hold on what? Whereunto thou art also called. You got a calling, Timothy, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Timothy, I know God has his hand on you. I know God's called you. I know all hell wants to stop you, but hold on to something that's eternal.
Amen.
You understand? When Timothy, God called Timothy, and he watched Paul, he didn't say, Paul, I want to live in a big house like you do. I want to drive a big chariot like you do. I want to help out servants like you do. He said, Paul, I want to suffer like you do, because what you're doing is eternal, and I want to get what God called me to be and to do. I want to hold on to it. Watch it succeed.
Yeah.
And God tells us to hold on
to
eternal life. How many of you are saved tonight? Raise your hand. How many of you know without a shadow of a doubt you're born again, blood bought, you are going to heaven? Now, amen. Now, some of you just lied. Some of you don't know.
Yeah.
You'd be too embarrassed to admit it yet. But let me say this. Those of you who are saved, I'm going to ask you to do two things during this camp. One is ask God to show you His will. And secondly, ask God to help you to hold on. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Quiet. Heavenly Father, we're just beginning. We're just getting started. What have you got in store for us this week? Where are we going to go? What's it going to be on Friday? We can settle it tonight that it's going to be great. Lord, don't let anybody in this room go out of here unburdened, unconcerned about the will of God for their life. Don't let anybody in this room think that everything, none of this stuff matters. Oh God in heaven, please stir some hearts, every heart, with a desire, a burning, passionate desire to do your will. And as we look at the life of Joseph, and we see him and his dream crumble, we know the last chapter, we know that it's not the end. And anybody, Lord, in here, let them be encouraged that when they try to do right and try to go forward and fulfill that dream, all hell's going to break loose. Everything will fall apart. And the world will go against them. May they hold on to that eternal focus. Lord, we just dedicate this week to you. Lord, we have 5 glorious days together. May they be the best ever. We just dedicate it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated real quick.